Hi Scarlett, it's great to see you again. So, how's your week? Do you have something fun to share with us?
Well, not very good. Last week my life was really in a mess. I had a lot of presentations to do. So, what about you, Diana?
Actually, it's just same as you.
So, what will we talk about this week?
I think we do need some relaxation. Have you ever heard about the book Little Prince? Always when I feel tired, I read this book to relax myself.
Well, that's great. Why not today we share this story with all our listeners?
Chapter 1. Once when I was 6 years old, I saw a magnificent picture in a book called True Stories from Nature about the primeval forests. It was a picture of a boa constrictor in an act of swallowing an animal. Here is a copy of the drawing. In the book it said, "Boa constrictors swallow their prey whole without chewing it. After that, they are not able to move, and they sleep through the 6 months that they need for digestion." I pondered deeply then over the advantages of the jungle. And after some work with a colored pencil, I succeeded in making my first drawing. My drawing number 1, it looked like this. I showed my masterpiece to the grown-ups and asked them whether the drawing frightened them. But they answered, "Frightened? Why should anyone be frightened by a hat?" My drawing was not a picture of a hat. It was a picture of a boa constrictor digesting an elephant. But since the grown-ups were not able to understand it, I made another drawing. I drew the inside of a boa constrictor so that the grown-ups could see it clearly. They always need to have things in mind. My drawing number 2 looked like this. The grown-ups' response this time was to advise me to lay aside my drawings of boa constrictors, whether from the inside or the outside, and devote myself instead to geography, history, arithmetic, and grammar. That is why, at the age of 6, I gave up what might have been a magnificent career as a painter. I have been disheartened by the failure of my drawing number 1 and my drawing number 2. Grown-ups never understand anything by themselves, and it's tiresome for children to be always and forever explaining things to them. So then, I chose another profession and learned to pilot airplanes. I have flown a little over all parts of the world, and it is true that geography has been very useful to me. At a glance, I can distinguish China from Arizona. If one gets lost in the night, such knowledge is valuable. In the course of this life, I have had a great many encounters with a great many people who have been concerned with matters of consequence. I have lived a great deal among grown-ups. I have seen them intimately, close at hand. And that hasn't much improved my opinion of them. Whenever I met one of them, I who seems to me at all clear-sighted, I tried the experiment of showing him my drawing number 1, which I have always kept. I would try to find out, so, if this was a person of a true understanding. But whoever it was, he or she would always say, "That is a hat." Then I would never talk to that person about the boa constrictors or primeval forest or stars. I would bring myself down to his level. I would talk to him about the bridge, the gulf, the neckties, and the grown-ups would be greatly pleased to have met such a sensible man.
So I lived my life all alone, without anyone that I could really talk to, until I had an accident with my plane in the desert of Sahara 6 years ago. Something was broken in my engine, and as I had with me neither a mechanic nor any passengers, I set myself to attempt the difficult repairs all alone. It was a question of life or death for me. I had scarcely enough drinking water to last a week. The first night then, I went to sleep on the sand, 1,000 miles from any human habitation. I was more isolated than a shipwrecked sailor on a raft in the middle of the ocean. Thus you can imagine my amazement at sunrise when I was awakened by an old little voice. It said, "If you please, draw me a ship." "What? Draw me a ship?" I jumped to my feet, completely thunderstruck. I blinked my eyes hard. I looked carefully all around me, and I saw a most extraordinary small person who stood there examining me with great seriousness. Here you may see the best portrait that, later, I was able to make of him. But my drawing is certainly very much less charming than its model. That, however, is not my fault. The grown-ups discouraged me in my painter's career when I was 6 years old, and I never learned to draw anything except boas from the outside and boas from the inside. Now I stared at this sudden apparition with my eyes fairly starting out of my head in astonishment. Remember, I had crashed in the desert 1,000 miles from any inhabited region, and yet my little man seemed neither to be straying uncertainly among the sands, nor to be fainting, fatigue, or hunger, or thirst, or fear. Nothing about him gave any suggestion of a child lost in the middle of the desert, 1,000 miles from any human habitation. When at last I was able to speak, I said to him, "But what are you doing here?" And in answer he repeated, very slowly, as if he was speaking of a matter of great consequence, "If you please, draw me a ship." The mystery is too overpowering when dare not disobey. Absurd as it might seem to me, 1,000 miles from any human habitation and in danger of death, I took out my pocket, a sheet of paper, and my fountain pen. But then I remembered how my studies had been concentrated on geography, history, arithmetic, and grammar, and I told the little chap that I did not know how to draw. He answered me, "That doesn't matter, draw me a ship." But I had never drawn a ship, so I drew for him one of the two pictures I had drawn so often. It was that of the boa constrictor from the outside. And I was astounded to hear the little fellow greeted with, "No, no, no, I do not want an elephant inside a boa constrictor." A boa constrictor is a very dangerous creature, and an elephant is very cumbersome. Where I live, everything is very small. What I need is a ship. Draw me a ship. So then I made a drawing. He looked at it carefully. Then he said, "No, this ship is already very sickly. Make me another."